Hello, everybody. Thank you guys so much for tuning in again to this Press Reset with Leah Yu podcast show, which the topic can range from literally anything from content creation all the way to whatever in life that I want to press reset on. And I gotta start this show by saying how disappointed I am. It's kind of like a confession moment. And I know that I launched this podcast with an intention to be liberated from the obligation, the pressure to keep up with the audience and all that. But I gotta say, like, after I launched the very first episodes, I saw how many people actually listened to it and how many people downloaded the show. It was a lot more than I thought, and I think that kind of added a slight amount of pressure in me, thinking that maybe I should add more value. I'm kind of rambling here, and that's why I actually outlined maybe 10 podcast episodes that I want to actually speak about that are part of the entire content direction that I envisioned for this podcast. But I also realized, or I also kind of caught myself perfecting and trying to perfect the script, like turning an outline into a script. So I thought that was really holding me back, and I wanted to press reset on that. So this is like a free, no bullet point whatsoever, liberated from outlines and script kind of show. But here we go. I thought that we have a lot to catch up because it has been a while. There have been a lot of updates since I last talked to you guys over this podcast show. Speaking of disappointment, I also have to confess that I have been slacking, or I've been failing at keeping up with my morning routine. I don't know how many years or how long you have been following me for, but one of my best performing YouTube videos was my 5:30 a.m. morning routine video. And I'm laughing because I was actually really, really good at sticking to a 5:30 a.m. morning routine for about 2 years in my life. And that was where I had the most optimal brain power, cognitive function, like creativity, like zenness, big, massive self-control and self-discipline in my life. I felt that even though the time that I was kind of living then was really chaotic because I was trying to take off my startup and all that while juggling content creation, I still felt that I was in control of the time. However, fast forward to 2022 or even like 2021, I started sleeping later, waking up later, kind of being lazy about not really keeping up with those non-negotiables that I do know it'll bring me so much joy and so much more mental clarity and physical health. I haven't been doing it. I haven't been meditating. I haven't been working out as much as I would like to. And now that my wedding is coming up in 3 months, that's also been really pressuring me. But I don't know why my ass is not working or not wanting to actually do anything. There's some like massive magnetic force of resistance in me right now towards anything productive or anything that's like rigid and structured and forced. But I shouldn't think of it this way. And I'm not sure why I'm talking about this, but I thought it was a really interesting observation of my own self because my fiance, Neil, who I live together, he has been waking up at 6 a.m. every single morning, doing meditation, intense journaling, reading, and also hitting the gym for at least 30 minutes every single day. And then, you know, having a really structured to-do list for the day, intention setting for the day, and at 9 a.m. he'll be at work. That was the exact routine that I abided by in my prime time, in my peak productivity time. Just living with that person under the same roof, it does make you feel like you're the loser and he's the winner. And you definitely feel like your life is somewhat inferior to that kind of lifestyle as well. So I think that has been playing inside my head, but I don't know where this resistance is coming from. Anyways, I wanted to revisit the topic of YouTube for a little bit and content creation in general because there have been some updates that I wanted to share since the last episode that I shared with you guys. I did say and stated in the last episode saying that there is a misalignment in what I enjoy at the moment versus what people know me for or what people want and expect from me in terms of content. And because I've been doing skincare content for so long, like, it is true that I am almost labeled and boxed into the skincare content creator or skincare influencer. I still get so many different brand partnership inquiries, but nothing have been really sparking light in me or enjoyment in me. And I came to peace with the decision that I am okay with no longer being associated or labeled as a skincare content creator. I think there is a bigger or a different path for me that's really calling me. And for the longest time, I didn't know what that was because I am naturally a very multi-passionate person. I can't really label it to only one lane of what I'm interested in. I'm interested in business, finance, consumerism, this entire system, and climate, sustainability, and also skincare and the beauty industry in general. So there's a diverse ranges of topics of what I'm interested in, and I just really couldn't find the connecting dot to all of those in order to make it a true content strategy. But what happened was universe works in a very interesting way that I believe in September, late September, I was invited to YouTube's very, very, very first Creator Summit for Climate Action. And YouTube always does this kind of Creator Summit for either beauty, fashion summit, vid summit, like all sorts of different category of summits. And they put together a climate action or a climate and sustainability themed summit for the very, very, very first time. And I was so, so, so lucky to be invited to that because there were only maybe 20 people of us or 30 people of us. And that was really eye-opening. I think that really helped me to come to a breakthrough in my content direction of how I want to pivot and how I want to take the next step from Leah, you as a skincare content creator, to what it might be in the future. So I gotta say, the Climate Action Creator Summit has had a very, very hugely positive impact on me. I really wish that Ali and Daniela, who are the two organizers for the entire YouTube Creator Summit, are very proud of themselves for actually grouping together a really solid group that are so diverse. And diverse in terms of the category of content, the perspectives, and the nuances of voices that they can collectively gather. And they've done a really good job in educating all the creators on how to use the platform for good and how to empower each creator to speak more about the climate topic in the way that is not so far off from their original content category. And it was so refreshing to meet so many diverse group of creators as well, because I normally interact mostly with beauty content creators, skincare content creators, lifestyle content creators at most. I never really interacted or was ever acquainted with any science education channel or a farming channel or a wilderness channel or sustainable fashion, indoor house plant care, and there was climate policy channel and climate journalism channel. These people were so inspiring, and not only because of what they're doing, but I also think that we were able to come together and bring our unique value to the table, and hopefully we can bring that unique value to our own audience. I am kind of saying this because the next video that I created after being so inspired by that Creator Summit was me taking a completely different approach to my content creation. I was very fascinated by Vox Media's journalism or video journalism in general. I never really thought that I could be the one who actually do a journalism content. But in a way, the way that I have been approaching skincare product reviews or skincare industry, beauty industry in general, I gotta say, like, it had a journalistic edge to it. I can't fully say that I have a journalistic spirit, but I do think that journalism, it just starts with a lot of curiosity and you're obsessed with digging to the root and just trying to uncover the truth. And that's something that I realized that I can bring to the table with Adjacent to the Beauty Industry. And the content that I created was how we at Crave Beauty ended up with so much excess waste behind the scenes. Because when you think about waste in the beauty industry, probably 9 out of 10, you'll probably think about the packaging waste or plastic waste or the mailer box and whatnot. That is true, but I think a lot of the times the waste goes beyond packaging, and a lot of those are hidden behind the curtains, basically. So I wanted to peel that curtain by opening up our own warehouse and our own product development journey and our own production screw-ups and excess inventories and all the things that we almost wasted throughout the entire product development process. And with that, I knew that these kind of issues behind the scenes are not unique to us or our company alone. It's more of a common product if you do have a product business. So back to my content, the very first video that I did upload after being super pumped and super inspired and just having that kind of transformational moment internally was the video that lives on my channel with the title of "We Made $1.5 million Worth of Waste at Crave Beauty, and Here's What Really Happened." And basically, I was trying to uncover the hidden waste of the beauty industry, and starting with our own waste as well. I always admire journalism or video journalism in general. I think they do bring such nuance and amazing way of storytelling, especially Vox Media and so many other independent channels are doing such a great job, and I really admire those. I have been a viewer, but I never thought that I could be the one who approaches content in a way from a journalistic angle. But I do think the way I approached my business or my content creation have always been starting with a very genuine curiosity to uncover the truth and digging deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until I find the fact or until I hit the moment where I feel like this information is going to be very transformational when it's delivered to the audience or when it's delivered to the customers. So the first video that I kind of wore a journalist hat was this hidden waste of the beauty industry video. And that content creation process has given me so much high to the point where it kind of made me realize that I've never felt this endorphins from content creation for such a long time. And I put a lot of energy into that video because I retook the video maybe 3 times over the course of maybe 1 month, but I wasn't really exhausted. I was obsessed with trying to find a better way to storytell, trying to make things more digestible, more engaging, and more interactive, and also just make it easier for the viewers to understand the root cause or the real issue behind the scenes. So definitely go to that video and watch it. It's a video that is not perfect, but it's given me so much joy in the research process. I hope you do enjoy that approach as well, because there are many different videos that are in similar type of content approach that I'm going to take for the next few months and for the next year as well. And I hope the engagement is good. I hope the response is good, because that will tell if this is something that I should keep doing or not, because it is a very long, exhaustive process compared to any other skincare videos that I would create. Yeah, I haven't felt that adrenaline rush for such a long time. When you're in a creative flow, it does kind of magically and naturally, magnetically pulls you into the direction that you should be going. And I truly, truly, truly believe that there is this invisible force that you can only discover when you are in that flow. And it's just the matter of going into that flow that's really, really hard. But once you're in that, like, everything becomes really easier and very natural. And everything just makes sense. So another thing that came out of that creator's summit reckoning and realization was how I want to take Crave Beauty's creative voice. From 2019, I had a very clear vision of how I want to expand Crave Beauty, not only in terms of the business, but also to establish and strengthen its voice and its positioning in the beauty industry. I think Crave Beauty is uniquely positioned to actually have a voice because we are not venture-backed. We don't have any shareholders other than myself. We are a still independent, privately owned company that is not in any retailers, so we don't have anyone to report to, anyone who's saying what to do. We can do whatever we want in however way we want and also in the timeline that is right for us. That made me want to always have a media vertical attached to Crave Beauty. I wanted to have a bigger conversation about capitalism, consumerism, and a broader consumer culture in general. There's so many people who are interested in conscious consumerism, conscious capitalism in general, but people don't know how to make the most intentional choice when supporting brands. How do you actually vet the brands that are aligned with your values? How do you do that kind of due diligence in order to buy a piece of furniture, in order to buy a piece of coat, or in order to buy a piece of skincare product? It's something that always have been in mind that I wanted to put together a team to talk bigger things that are kind of adjacent to Crave Beauty, but not in a product adjacent way, but more of a mission and purpose adjacent way. We couldn't obviously do this or launch this sooner because our team is relatively small, very, very lean. Our team is also at capacity, so it wasn't really fair for me to expect more beyond what they're currently doing right now. I've been contacting different people that I've always looked up to in this space. I've been doing a lot of cold emailing, cold messaging on LinkedIn, Instagram, like stalking everywhere and every platform that they use. And some people did reply and I'm having calls with them, and I think it's going in a very positive direction. I don't know what it will actually be, and it'll probably take some time in order for us to fully establish that creative voice. It's something that I'm really excited about. I'm looking forward to 2023 because of this, and this is something that truly does bring me joy, not only because it fulfills my personal desire and my passion as a content creator, but also because I strongly and firmly believe that content is king. It's always the story that travels and always the story that starts a new conversation and leads the conversation, and also can shift the paradigm of how people think and how people view and how people choose and how people make decisions and how people consume and how people live. And I do think we are at the point or at the transitional point of consumer culture shifting, and consumers are becoming extremely aware and wanting to align their values with the companies and the brands that they vote for with their dollars. And brands do need to evolve to cater towards that and need to establish a voice in order to make the choice and the decision easier for customers. I know that in the industry nowadays, the entire conversation is all around how it's so increasingly hard to acquire new customers. And it's true that the D2C businesses back in the days had the highest high. They had the steroid effect of paid social. You know, if you are a D2C brand, you resort to Facebook and Instagram advertising. It'll definitely convert into a good amount of dollars and revenue and new customers. But since the iOS updates and since the increased competition in the market, it's becoming way more expensive, but it's becoming way more ineffective as well. So brands are not seeing the ROI, but that's the same with influencer marketings too. There's so much saturation. So as the last resort or as the next resort, I know that a lot of brands are rushing into more distribution channels, going into Ulta, Sephora, Amazon, and other online retailers. And sometimes when I do hear this conversation in conferences and in industry and from other folks in the industry, I do get, you know, a little bit anxious, or I do get distracted of thinking that, oh, should I be investing a lot into then like partnering with a big retailer, but I kind of from time to time need to kind of collect myself in really coming back to our North Star and the way and the pace of how I want to take the growth of the company and just being committed to the vision that I have for this content media vertical. Like, I'm so excited for this. Okay, so we bounced around different topics by quite a lot today, starting from me confessing to you about how disappointed I am with myself with not keeping up with the podcast and morning routine. And we went to YouTube, content creation stuff, climate, sustainability summit, more content creation stuff, journalism, and Crave Beauty media strategy, consumer culture, and some business stuff as well. But I want to come back to my personal life update and share some thoughts that I've been kind of having in the past month or so. So I've been going out a lot more than I would normally do, a lot more than I would like to. I have my calendar events were just full with different events, parties, networking, business dinners, and so on. And currently I'm exhausted. Like, this is one of the only days that I don't have anything in the evening that's planned. So I was kind of working overtime, and then I just thought that I could use this time to reflect and actually just switch on the mic and talk to you guys and just brain dump everything. I've been a person who've been very protective of my time for the past 4 years, 5 years of building Crave Beauty, and I've been laser focused on only one mission in my life: to build and manage the team and just to protect my mental, physical energy from what it would distract me from. So I would always think about the return on investment of what I would gain out of meeting this random person at this networking event or at this business dinner. Is it going to be beneficial for me or not? Or what is the opportunity cost? Like, what am I missing out by going to that dinner? So I would be super calculative of everything, just approaching time and approaching whom I'm meeting with or whom I'm spending time with. If it wasn't a clear yes to me, it was always a clear no for me. That was easier. But things have been different the past month and a half or so, and I've been saying yes to a lot of things. I've been opening myself up to a lot of different opportunities because I do think it's a kind of a different season where I'm going through a very transformative stage in my career, not only with the content creator stuff, but in Crave Beauty as well. I'm kind of looking for new inspiration from unlikely sources and likely sources at the same time. I'm physically drained, but I was kind of tracing back on how and why this shift in my life happened, because the other day, my fiance Neil, he was telling how busy I became in the past 2 months. Like, I don't have time for him anymore. And I do feel bad. The point is, when my dearest friend passed away, one of the last conversations that I had with her, mind you that she passed away in early September, one of the last conversations that I had with her before her passing, she was in her hospital bed. She was saying how hard I worked and how life isn't all about work. And when you're lying in hospital bed, you don't regret not spending more time working. You regret not spending time with the people that you love and to other experiences in life. And for some reason, when I heard her passing guide me to, I did not know that I would be crying in the middle of recording a podcast, but when I heard her passing, that last conversation was brought back so vividly. It was almost like the advice that she wanted to leave me with. And I think that's why I tried my best to be present with every single second and also be open to new experiences, meeting new kinds of people, really letting the universe take me to wherever I can go and I should be going, and not really having such a rigid, structured way of living and an outlook to it. So I kind of overexerted myself to the point where I'm like really, really exhausted right now. So I think now I'm going to dial back a little bit to balance it out and still focus on being present with myself too. Because I think by prioritizing spending time with new types of people, I did deprioritize spending time with my own self and also with my like really, really loved ones as well. So I think it's a different waves of seasons that you kind of go through. But I wanted to end this podcast episode with sharing this because I thought it was a very beautiful reflection, something that you might need or something that I would always remember whenever I feel like I'm calculating the opportunity cost of how I'm going to spend time and whom I'm going to spend time with. I think it was like a really good reminder of what she told me to to work less and live more. And that's what I'm going to leave you with, even though we talked a lot about work today. But I'm excited. I'm excited for the future. I'm excited for where I'll be going and where Crave Beauty will be going and where my life will take me in 2023. There's only 3 months left to my wedding, and I haven't planned a lot of things. I do have a wedding planner, but it's literally been the lowest priority of my life right now. So that's been stressing me out a lot, but I know everything's going to go fine and no one's going to care about the detail of the chair design, the linens and all that. So thank you so much for listening. I am going to go to bed and I hope you have a really restful evening, day, or morning. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.